Now we're holding on Vav Amud Aleph, the sixth line. And we're in the middle of talking about the dinim of Tzaras, since our Mishnah had said, Maris Negoyim Shnayim Shein Arba, that there are two which are four types of Negoyim. And we were discussing, so our Mishnah just says Shnayim Shein Arba without going into any detail, but then the Gemara was dealing with the Mishnah in Negoyim, which goes into further detail and mentioned four different shades of white. And discussing so far, we were discussing the opinions of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. We were going to Rabbi Akiva, it would seem that not all of them can combine together. So on the surface, what we were talking about is we mentioned four different shades. On the surface, what we mean is just that. In other words, that there were four different shades of white, each one a little bit brighter or duller than the next one. And the question is what order they should be listed in. Do we list them strictly in order of how bright or dull they are? And then in that case, any one should be able to combine with any other. Or are we saying Rabbi Akiva is saying that an ov can combine together only with its tolda to make up the minimum size for a spot of tzaras, but not necessarily an ov with a different ov's tolda. We said there might even be, according to Rabbi Akiva, there might even be that one of them doesn't even have it, that Baheras doesn't even have a tolda, only Seis has. There are, by the way, there are several explanations of Rishonim that according to Rabbi Akiva, another difference between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim may be, according to Rabbi Akiva, the difference between one type and another is strictly a matter of just how white it is, whereas according to the Chachamim, we would say, that there are actually it's not just four different shades of white, one whiter or one duller than the other, but you would actually have the Ramban learns that it means that there's actually different qualities of white. Like you have one of them has a certain type of white which therefore has a tolda, and the other one is a type which has a different tolda, meaning it was not just like you would put them on a color chart, let's say, and say this one, each one you have. There's not only the whiteness, there's also some other, like for the same way, for example, as let's say you have, you know, so let's say for example you have glossy versus flat when it comes to paint. Le Marshall, so the same way that Ramban learns there might be a difference in that regard. The Baal HaMor makes a similar point and says that actually what it might be is that there are different types in terms of how they feel. Like one type would be smooth and the other kind would be rough. One would be dry and the other one would be moist, etc. So in other words, according to that way of looking at it, like this, you know, we always learn as kids, and this is how the Rambam seems to say it, that we're just talking strictly about different shades, as though like you were to go into a paint store, Le Marshall, and see four different types of white. But here we're saying, according to the Baal HaMor and according to the Ramban and others, that there may actually be a difference in the quality of it, as for example, glossy versus flat versus whatever, or as in the actual physical type of tzaras on the skin, whether we're talking something smooth or bumpy or whatever. This also bears on later in the sugya. It's going to talk about that Baheres looks deeper than the skin and Seif looks high. So does that mean high as in it looks like it's raised above the skin, or does it mean high as in not quite as deep as Baheres, but still looks like it's deeper? So now continuing on this topic of the colors of Tzaras. So far we said that Rabbi Akiva had held that Zula Maila Mizu is Zula Maila Mizu. That Rabbi Akiva had said each one is higher than the other, meaning, in other words, Rabbi Akiva had said, you can't just combine any two together. You have to have actually an of combining only with its tolda. So, v'heicha shemin and Rabbi Akiva, zula ma'ila mizu. Where do we find Rabbi Akiva saying such a thing? So, ilema mehod tanya. You're going to say you get it from the following v'raisa. Amr Rabbi Yosi, shaw Yoshua b'noish Rabbi Akiva, mei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's son Yoshua asked him, the following question. And by the way, who is this Yehoshua? We don't necessarily find him elsewhere. Tosfos mentions in some other places that it's possible that he is identical. Well, Rashi actually mentions over here as well that it's that he actually would be identical with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha. We find in many places in Shas, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha, and the idea would be, the Gemara elsewhere mentions that Rabbi Akiva was bald, and therefore that's why Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha was called that. Tosfos discusses that in a few other places in Shas, whether in fact that's so. Tosfos doesn't really like that explanation so much, because for one thing, why are we calling him Ben Korcha? Why use that derogatory name to call Rabbi Akiva for the fact that he was bald? Why not say Rabbi Yeshua Bnei Yeshua Rabbi Akiva? There is an interesting explanation in that regard. We know Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old when he first began to learn Torah, and there's actually an Ovid Sid of Nosim when it tells the details of how Rabbi Akiva first got motivated to learn Torah. So it mentions that once he finally was willing to, so he actually goes to Cheder with his son, and they're learning Aleph Beis together. Now, that wouldn't, in other words, the idea would be, we're not going to say that he married Rachel, they lived together for a few years, they had a child who's now old enough of Cheder age, and finally Rabbi Akiva is now willing to fulfill what he had promised Rachel and go learn Torah. But Pashtus, we would understand then that Rabbi Akiva had a son from a previous marriage. When he met Rachel, he was widowed or divorced, as the case may be, and he has a son a few years old. And now, by the time he and Rachel got married, then his son is old enough to go to Cheder, and he goes with him. So the idea would be then maybe the son is this Rabbi Yeshua that we're mentioning over here, and then and then eventually he came to be known as Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, because at the beginning his father wasn't the great Rabbi Akiva, just Sam this bald person. Anyway, there's a lot of interesting discussion about the possibilities involving that. In any case, so Yeshua Rabbi Akiva's son asks him as follows. What is the point of saying that there are Maris Negoyim, which are two, that there are four? What does that mean? Amaloi, Rabbi Akiva says, what do you mean? What's the question? What would you expect them to say? How else do you expect them to phrase it? Amaloi. So Rabbi Yeshua answers, Yomru, why don't the Chachamim just say Mikrum Beitza Olamai L'Tomei? Why don't we just say that anything from Krum Beitza and higher is going to be Tomei? We learned yesterday you have the four shades, of which Krum Beitza, the membrane of an egg, is the least bright white of all of the four of them. So why bother mentioning specifically you have Sida Heichel and you have wool and so on and so forth? Just say that the minimum degree of whiteness for something to be Tzara'as is Krum Beitza, and anything higher than that is Tomei. And wouldn't that be better after all? It's always better to teach in a brief way rather than going through all this detail. Because that tells you that they combine together, Now, what does that mean? They combine together in what order? So that, as we continue the discussion, then we'll see what Rabbi Akiva means by that. Rabbi Yeshua answers back, fine, all the Mishnah would have to say, remember these are Mishnayos that existed in much their current form long before Rebbe. Rabbi Akiva, after all, is a generation or two before Rebbe, but as we've talked about before, the Rebbe didn't go and compose the Mishnayos from scratch. Many of them existed in their current form long before him. So here, this concept, Maris Negoim, Shnayim Shein Abba, existed and was being taught by the Chachamim long before Rebbe. So it already existed in Rabbi Akiva's times. And so Rabbi Yeshua is asking the earlier Chachamim before us who composed that wording, why did they do that? So they should have said the least white color of Maris Negoim is Krum Beitza, and anything above that will work. So why don't they just do that? So Because with that, the Chachamim wanted to point out something else to you. Any Koyan who's not an expert in them and in their names, Einar Royas and Negoyim, is not able to see Negoyim. In other words, it's not just enough that a Koyan has eyes to see. He needs to be able to know what are the actual colors and shades of Negoyim, and only then is he able to see Negoyim. An interesting point in that regard is that there is a famous halacha that says that even a child, a koyin, for example, or even a shoyter or whatever, is able to see Negoyim and is able to be told by Yisrael, who's a chacham, what the deal is, and he'll tell him, say that this one is tahar. So what do we mean over here that a koyin has to be baki bahem over shmesehem? So Tosfos explains that what it means is when there's no Yisrael Chacham with him. So if there's a Yisrael Chacham with him, then we're saying that a Koyan of any kind, even a Shoyte, even a child or whatever, can be told, the Chacham will look the Tzaras over. Tell him, okay, listen, you know, this kind is Tomei, so say Tomei. This kind is Tahar, say Tahar, and then it'll work. But what we're saying over here is if the Kohen is going to be doing it by himself, then he needs to be able to be expert and know all the different shades of Tzaras. Tosfos actually says you can have one Yisrael who's an expert, and then he tells another Yisrael who in turn tells the Kohen. In which case, Tosfos says, let's say you can have the expert can't see well, so therefore he can't see the Tzaras well enough, but he has enough experience to know that this is in fact Tzaras, so now he tells a second Yid who can see clearly, and that one in turn tells the Kohen, and tells him, say Tomei or say Tahar. There are different other opinions on that subject among the Rishonim, what exactly it means that on the one hand we're saying that a Koyan needs to be an expert in all of here we have a mission in Negoyim that says a Kol Kshirim, Lulisus and Negoyim, and the Gemara elsewhere, and Erchin points out that it means that even a Koyan was a Kotan or a Shoyta or whatever. So the Gemara says over there, Demaz Berulei or Mizvar, that you can explain to him and he'll be able to understand. So Tosfos over here is saying basically that what it means is the Yisrael, means in other words he himself may not be an expert until now, but he's somebody where you can explain to him, you should know this type of thing is Tzaras, and therefore he will be able to in turn tell the Koyan. So in other words, the point of Tosfos over here, we're talking those three different people involved: an expert Yisrael who can't see well, so therefore he can't tell the Koyan directly, so instead he tells another Yisrael who's able to see and report to him what he sees, and then he can explain to him, okay, based on what you're telling me, this is or isn't Tzaras, now tell the Kohen to say Tomei or Tahar.
And he's a Kohen.
And then the Kohen himself can be a Kohen or a Shoyta or whatever. Tosfos elsewhere, Tosfos and Erchin gives a different explanation over there, that it means there's only two people involved, but the Kohen himself. When we say that he's a Shoyta, we mean, in other words, that he's not as much of a Chacham as, in other words, there's two people. There's the Yisrael who tells him and then he does it. So the Rambam when he brings this halacha also brings something along the lines of he says that when Tosfos is saying over here that the Kohen himself, if he's going to see it by himself, he has to know all the Maris Negoyim and all the details. But if not, then he can have. But on the other hand, if he's relying on the word of a Chacham, then it works, even if he himself is not knowledgeable. So you have that. There was a famous sicha. It was recently in Project Before the Sichas in Chelech Chavzayin, where the Rebbe talks about that. So why is that? What's the logic that why you should have it? That's still, anyway, why Davka Koyin? And the fact is, Xeris HaKosov, it depends on a Koyin. And the Rebbe makes a point over there, basically, since the Koyin is the Isha Chesed, and so therefore, you're talking about a Metzora is unique among all Tmeim. He has to leave the Machna completely, Bodad Yeshev, and all that. Who is that who has the ability to tell the Yid, you don't belong among the Jewish people, only a Kohen who we can be sure is doing it completely out of Chesed. So anybody else has no whether makes the point very sharply there at the end of the sicha that nobody has the right, nobody outside of a kohen who's full of chesed for a yid has the right to tell another yid go away, you don't belong among the Jewish people. It seems that at the time there was somebody prominent who was saying things to the contrary, and therefore they never found it necessary to point that out. But
I thought today kohen are
the Kohanim are associated with the Kohanim are kapdonim. It says the Kohanim get angry very easily. But on the other hand, we always say that the Kohen is associated with chesed. No, in the terms of the root of their neshama, it's explained the Kohanim are rooted in chesed. The Levim are in Gevura. That's the, for example, he talks about the idea that Korach with his dispute with Moshe was trying to elevate Gevura over chesed, which will in fact be the case lost in Lover, just not now. No, you have in our world it sometimes happens because I don't know what the mechanism is behind it exactly, but you do have the Kohen has tremendous chesed, but he's also Kohenim Zrizimheim. They're very quick to do the avodah and very eager about it, and because of that, they have like less tolerance for people who don't do what they're supposed to do, and therefore they get angry easily. But they themselves are people of chesed. So thus far the Braisa. So that was the discussion between Rabbi Akiva's son, Rabbi Yeshua, and him. Now, you're gonna say that from this Braisa we can deduce that Rabbi Akiva holds that Zelamayla Mizeh, like we said, that Rabbi Akiva says that not necessarily can all of them combine together. Now, the Ilum is Sid Heichol Olamayla Loikoma. Now, Rabbi Akiva is not saying that, or Rabbi Yeshua, when he asks Rabbi Akiva, is not saying that the Mishnah should have said that anything from Sid HaHechel is and above is Tomei, or Midloi Omalei, and since he's not saying that, Shmamina, that seems to imply that maybe that Rabbi Yeshua, he had heard his father Rabbi Akiva, Omar, that he says, Kulul Bahadi Seis Mitzarfin, all of them can combine with Seis, like we talked about yesterday, that both Krum Beitza, the membrane of an egg, and Sida Hechel, the plaster of the Hechel, both of those can be considered toldos of Seis and can combine together with it. Or we would say that not, that each of them is a tolda, each of them is a tolda of a different av, one of Baheres and one of Seis, but nevertheless that Rabbi Akiva holds that they can combine together because they're only one degree apart. But in other words, if it weren't for that, So Rashi teaches out in some detail over here. If Rabbi Akiva had been saying, like the way the Mishnah gives it, where the order is that you have Baheres and then you have its Tolda and then you have Seis and then it's his Tolda, then Rabbi Yeshua should point out, he should say that the Chachamim should have said there are two things from which you go upward. You have from Krum Beitza and higher and from Sida Hechel and higher, because each one of them is a Tolda of a different Av. The fact that he doesn't ask that way, that would work according to the Chachamim, that each one can go with a level higher than it. But now Rabbi Yeshua is only asking Mikrum Beitza. Why don't we say Mikrum Beitza L'may L'tomei? That seems to imply, in other words, that he knows that Rabbi Akiva is saying that each of them can combine together with Seis, but not with Beheres. either because it means since they're each one degree different than Seis, then therefore they can combine with it. But on the other hand, to have Krum Beitza combine with Baheres would be too far apart because they're 2 degrees apart. Or that we would explain, like we talked about yesterday, that maybe according to Rabbi, maybe the meaning of what Rabbi Akiva is saying, as Rabbi Yeshua understands it, is that Baheres has no tolda at all, and Seis has 2 toldas, and therefore either of them can combine with it. Whatever the case, can we infer that from that braisa that Rabbi Akiva in fact holds that way? The question is why? Maybe that's not how Rabbi Yeshua heard his father Rabbi Akiva explaining. Maybe all it means is that Rabbi Akiva had explained that Seis has a tolda and Baheres has a tolda, And he's saying, therefore, maybe in fact, when Rabbi Yeshua originally asked the question to Rabbi Akiva, he did mention both Krum Beitza and Sida Hechel. The Gemara is not mentioning, but the Braisa didn't mention both of them, because the Braisa doesn't have to give every detail that he asked. It's another, as Rashi says, he's not going to keep on listing it like a peddler and list every possibility that Rabbi Yeshua brought up. So that doesn't necessarily prove that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that all of them could combine, like the way the Chachamim say.
Combine as one big total, or
as one big spot. We talked about yesterday that saras, in order to be metame, has to be a minimum size. It has to be the size of a gris. A gris is a type of bean. Different posts can discuss what the size of a gris is, ranging from anywhere from somewhat smaller than a dime all the way to about the size of a penny, because it comes up in Hilchos Nida as well, the size of a gris. So the Rishonim and Achronim deal with the size of it. So in other words, all this time we've been saying, according to the Chachamim, on the face of it, any one can combine with another one. You have a spot, which is the size of, exactly the size of a gris, and half of it is one shade, and half of it is the other shade. The Chachamim are going to say it's going to combine, whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, it would depend which shades it is. Not always would we say that it combines. But we can't necessarily, maybe Rabbi Akiva holds that, but we can't necessarily infer that from this braisa, just because we're saying that Rabbi Yeshua mentioned only Krum Beitza, because that doesn't mean that he didn't also ask about Sida Hechel as well, and ask why the Chacham didn't list that as well. Ela Midir Rav Chanina. Rather, we can show that, So if we want to show that Rabbi Akiva holds that not all of them can combine with one another, then we would learn that from when the Mishnah gives them in the order, first comes Beheres, then comes Se'es, then comes its Tolda. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is saying not like that. If we want to show that Rabbi Akiva holds not like that, we can do that from the following statement, Mid Rav Chanina, based on what Rav Chanina says. The Amr Rav Chanina, Moshe Rav Akiva l'moha dover doyma. What can we compare the matter of what Rav Akiva is saying as far as the different shades? We can compare it as follows. Now you have like this. The pasuk mentions, when it comes to tzaras, that besides that you have white, you have the various shades of white. The pasuk also mentions a few times that you have nega lovan adamdam. You have a white reddish color, which means, in other words, either it can mean that you have, it's basically white but it has streaks of red in it, or it can mean that it's mixed together and it's like a pinkish color. So let's talk about that. Rav Chanina says, let me explain to you how Rav Akiva would delineate out those colors. The Amr Rav Chanina, Moshal de Rav Akiva, Lamar Dava Dama, La'abar Koisis Shal Cholav, picture that you have four cups of milk, Echad Nuflul Sefer Shtei Tipen Shal Dam, into one of them two drops of blood fall, the Echad Nuflul Sefer Arba Tipen Shal Dam, the next one four drops, another one eight, and another one 12 drops. Tosfos points out that at this point you wouldn't necessarily need to double it, because once you have a lot has fallen in, then you add just a little more and already it makes a difference in the color, as opposed to the other ones you have in order to make it a noticeable difference. It's not enough. Let's say you have three drops, you would have to have two to three, wouldn't be a noticeable difference, but two to four would be, and four to eight would be, and so forth. Others say 16 drops. So according to that, Amrilah, it would have to be that every time is in fact double.
Because how much milk you have in a cup?
We're talking about a cup. In Gemara terminology, usually means a revis. There is, by the way, Machlokas Rishonim, what that means in terms of how those map onto the four colors that we said before. The Rambam holds that the order is that that the Baheres is like the one with the 16 drops, and which is the Baheres, the brightest white, is like the one with the 16 drops, and then the Se'es would be like the one with the 8 drops, and then the Sida Hechel with the blood, or with the reddish mixed into it, would be like the 4, and the Krum Beitza would be the 2. And then the Ravid says the other way around. The Ravid says, on the contrary, the brighter white, when it's posel, when it's reddish or pinkish, would have less red in it. So he learns the other way around. The Baheras has 2, and the Krum Beitza has 16, and they go between them. Anyway. So on the face of it, then, since Rabbi Akiva would be saying, therefore, that each one, therefore, is a different, a whole different type of white than the other one, because each one has a variable, each one has a different amount of blood, of reddish mixed into it, and therefore, that would tell us, therefore, Rabbi Akiva would hold that they can't just combine together across the spectrum. You still have to have that it can only be with one that's near it in color. And again, like we talked about before, we could have that the difference between the four colors may not only be a difference of color or shade, it may be a difference as far as the quality of the whiteness, like as in, for example, glossy versus flat, or it may be a difference even in the feel of the tzaras on the skin, for example, rough and scaly versus smooth or something like that. Anyway, the question is that still a proof that Rabbi Akiva holds that each one cannot necessarily combine with any other one? No. Amar de Shamat the Rabbi Akiva b'posel. Sure, you see that Rabbi Akiva holds that there's this difference when there's red mixed in over there, when there's red streaks or a pinkish color or whatever. B'cholok mishamat le. Who says Rabbi Akiva holds anything similar when it's a flat, when it's a plain white color without any mixture of anything else? Maybe Rabbi Akiva would say that with those, they're similar enough that they're four shades on one spectrum, and therefore any of them can combine with any other. Which all this time we're saying that Rabbi Akiva says they can't, but how are you getting that from this? You're going to say, well, fine, the same way once we see that he holds that there is this distinction when it comes to reddish ones, maybe the same thing would in fact be with white ones as well.
Pasuk is red. Is red.
Pasuk means mix.
Oh.
Pasuk means mix. So it means so Rashi uses the expression that it means simen stichas oidim shebehem nikeres b'makom achar, that you can see that there's a mix, that there's a mixture, that there's a blend of red in it, which may mean that Rashi is saying, in other words, that we're not talking about that it's a uniform pinkish color. It might be that Rashi is holding it's basically white, but you have streaks of red in it. There are other Rishonim who make it clearer that it actually means that the whole thing is now one uniform shade of pink. Anyway,
how well you would mix it.
Yeah. So the question is, maybe you would say, once we see that Rabbi Akiva holds, when it comes to posuch, when it comes to the one that's blended of white and red, you would see, he's mentioning this point about 2, 4, 8, and 16 drops, implying, in other words, that, for example, the one with 16 and the one with 2 are too far apart, let's say, for them to combine together in one spot of tzaras to make up the shear. And then you would say, okay, well, maybe once you see he says that, then maybe he would say the same thing about the plain white. The question is, who says he says that anything about posuch either? Or he's that he says that each one can combine only with one that's near it. Vatanya, we learn in a braisa, goes back, changes it to Vatnan, which would imply that's a Mishnah. It is in fact a Mishnah in Negoyim. Anyway, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Adam Dam Shabazeh B'Shabazeh, Rabbi Akiva says, when you're talking about in the first one and in the second one, and he means, in other words, that he means the first two that are listed in the Mishnah, which was the Baheres and its Tolda. So Rabbi Akiva says that those two, when they're mixed together with red, both of them, Rabbi Akiva says, are like wine mixed together with water. Ella shall baheres azek hasheleg v'shal sid deyahemen. All it is that baheres is a bright white, and the one that's comparable to sid ahechol is a little bit duller. So we see, in other words, that Rabbi Akiva does put the order baheres and then it's tolda and seis and then it's tolda. So we see Rabbi Akiva puts them in that order, and the Im Issa, if you were going to tell me that Rabbi Akiva holds that the order is Baheres, then Se'es, and then if you were going to say that Rabbi Akiva holds Baheres, then Se'es, meaning in other words, first first snow color, and then wool color, which was how the Mishnah had phrased it. So the Mishnah had phrased it that you have Baheres, and then the secondary to it is Kesida Hechel. And then you have wool, and then you have secondary to it is Krum Beitza. If Rabbi Akiva, in fact, held that, if Rabbi Akiva held that the correct order is first Azak HaShelag, first like snow, then like wool, then he would have said that. Then he would have said that. He would have said, instead of mentioning first and second, which implies the same first and second that the Tanakhama had mentioned, which is the order first Baheres, then it's told her, instead he would have said, snow, then wool, and make it clear that he argues on the order. So the fact that he does that seems to show that no, he doesn't care about which ones combine with other ones, and therefore, he wants to tell you about what different shades of white or reddish are we dealing with over here, but not necessarily is he actually coming to argue on the point which ones will combine with which ones. So where are we getting this that we were saying throughout the Sugya that Rabbi Akiva is saying not every one will combine together with every other one? How do you know that in fact he argues and then says differently than that? So Amri, so they answer back, Ein Hachanami. As a matter of fact, yes, Rabbi Akiva did in fact say it in the order that you're asking, that he should have said it. Now the Mishnah doesn't phrase it that way. The Mishnah just says Rishona and Shnia. But Vaha Tanya, but indeed we learn in a Braisa that Rabbi Nosson Omer, Loisha Omer Rabbi Akiva shall sid Deya Hemena, it's Rabbi Akiva did not say that the one with the plaster of the Hechel is slightly duller than the one which is like snow, which is the Baheres, Ela shall Semer Deya Hemena, that in fact he says that the wool one is slightly duller than it. And therefore, in other words, he does say it in that order, and therefore that means, in other words, that he's saying the order is different than the way the Tanakhama had said, and why would he say the order is different is in order to stress that they don't combine together across the board, that only each of can combine together with its tolda, but the of one cannot combine with the tolda of the other one to make up the relevant shear. So we can see from this braisa, the way Rabbi Nosson quotes Rabbi Akiva, that in fact Rabbi Akiva does hold differently in that regard, and therefore that bears out what we said at the beginning, that the Mishnah in Negoyim, when it lists them in the order, Baheres and it's told us, the Asen and it's told us, is disagreeing with Rabbi Akiva. So the question is, Omanolam de Baheres Azahi, how indeed do we know that Baheres is the brightest of all the colors? Amrabaya, Omakrobi, Baheres Lavonahi, because the Pasuk says, if it is a white Baheres, implying he Lavona, Veina Heres Lavona, implying that only the Baheres is white and the other ones are not. Now, it doesn't mean the other ones are not white, but in other words, the other ones are not as white. In fact, Tosfos points out, we've seen the Pasuk itself in Tillim compares the color of whiteness, the whiteness of snow to the whiteness of wool. Hanos and Shelag Katsomer. So therefore, so on the face of it, that means they're the same, but fine. It means, in other words, that the Pasuk is comparing something She'enei Motsu Ibn Motsu. Like this, snow in Eretz Yisrael is less common, so the average person is not going to be able to really describe so easily what the color of snow is. He may never see it, or see it only rarely in his lifetime, depending on what part of Eretz Yisrael he lives in. But therefore, you can compare it to wool, which is something that he's more commonly familiar with. I saw the Marshall, in a similar vein, by the way, worth mentioning. I saw a while back in a novel set during the time of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, and then afterwards it is Mitzrayim. Now, the Medrash tells us that during Makas Oroid, each of the wild animals was brought there with their habitat, because otherwise they're not going to be comfortable roaming around and attacking the Mitzrayim. So it would mean, in other words, you have animals that live in the jungle, and therefore a piece of jungle would come along with them, and animals that live in the desert, and a piece of desert would come along with them to Mitzrayim, etc. So so in this novel, they portray that you have polar bears coming over there, and the narrator of the novel says comes with snow. In Mitzrayim, you would never see snow, so they picture like this odd kind of cold sand, cold white sand coming with them. Because if you think of it, if somebody lives in that part of the world, how else would they describe snow? So Tosfos is saying in the same vein, then the pasuk is describing snow like wool, because a yid living in some parts of Eretz Yisrael might not be familiar enough with snow to be able to describe it. So again, the point is, we see from that Baheres, particularly Baheres, is described as white. The other ones are also white, but they're not described in the pasuk explicitly as white. So therefore, we can understand that Baheres is the brightest white of all of them. And again, as we said before, there will be Rishonim who explain that maybe the difference between it and Seif is not only a difference in the shade of white, it may be a difference in the quality or in the feel on the skin of the thing. We learn in a Braisa. Here's more details about the different kinds of saras. Baheres amuka. The baheres looks deeper than the skin. Now, it doesn't mean, Rashi mentions on the pasuk, it doesn't mean it's physically lower than the skin. You feel the skin over there, you won't feel a depression. And it means it looks, as the Gemara is going to say every year, it looks deeper. As the pasuk says, the look of it is deeper than the skin. Meaning, like when you see a shady area, and then you see sunlight, and a sunny area in the middle of it, and it looks, because of the bright on it, it looks like it's deeper than the area around it. So that's the idea. When you have something white or bright next to something of a different color, then the white looks deeper. Again, it might also be a difference whether we're talking about a glossy versus a flat kind of white. Now, what about se'ace? What about when the pasuk says another type of saras is called se'ace? That would be ein se'ace ela gavoya. The word se'ace means raised up. There are different Rishonim that talk about, do we mean actually raised up, as in, now Rashi and the Rambam, Rashi on the Pasuk and the Rambam in Yad HaChazakah, both explain that Se'es is also deeper than the skin. It just means when we say over here Gavoya, it doesn't look quite as deep. So it's not as intense a shade of white, so therefore it doesn't look as deep below the skin as Baheres does, but nevertheless it still looks deeper than the skin. Anytime it doesn't look deeper, then it means it's not saras, the Rambam stresses, but then it means it's just some kind of boihak, some kind of skin eruption or something like that, we don't have to worry about it. As opposed to the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam over there, and the Ramban disagrees with Rashi, and says that no, that there are actually, again, that the some kinds of white will in fact look like they're deeper than the skin. Other kinds of a flat white color, let's say a matte white, like you have in paints or whatever, might in fact look higher. Might in fact look higher than the skin. It might even be like a bump or something, which is physically higher. Or it might at least look higher than the skin, and not necessarily as though it's below it. So where do we see the word se'is means high? V'cheinu omer, al-kala ha-horim ha-romim, as the pasuk says, on all the high mountains, v'al-kala gvoris ha-nisois, and on all the lofty hills. So we see that the ha-nisois is from the same shodash as se'is, so we see that se'is means raised up. So again, either raised up relative to Baheres, or raised up in absolute terms, depending whether you go with the Rambam or the Ravid, and with Rashi or the Ramban. This is what we mean, by the way, when we said on Amud Aleph that a Kohen has to be Boki Behemah B'Shvisayim. These are all details that we have no idea about, but a Kohen in those days would have to know all these details, according to the various opinions, in order to be able to diagnose Saras.
You said there's a gloss and there's also matte?
So, like, think of, for example, you go to a paint store and you start picking out paints. You can have this glossy paint, and then you have matte, which is like a flatter or rougher looking finish, kind of.
And then there's a rough or a smooth?
Yeah, rough and smooth. Yeah, different. So that's the thing. So you have different Rishonim who learn that, in fact, there may be a difference that Ramban learns in his Chedushim on the Gemara over here, that there may actually be a difference when we talk about Baheres and its Tolda and Seis and its Tolda. It may not be only that we're looking on a color wheel over here and we have different shades of white. We may be talking about different qualities of white, as in, he doesn't specify, but it might be, like, for example, glossy versus matte, and then there are even Rishonim who learn. The Baal Amar learns that it may be an actual difference in what it feels like on the skin. For example, you can have something which is smooth, you can have something which is scaly and rough, different things like that. So, yeah. Okay. Next. Now, the Pasuk also mentions sapachas. The Pasuk also, so the expression of the Pasuk is se'es o sapachas o baheres. So what does the word sapachas mean? Ein sapachas el tfela. The word sapachas means something secondary, something auxiliary. As you have a pasuk, as you have a nevuah to Eli, after the way his sons Hophni and Pinchas are treating the korbanos and the mishkan and everything, so he gets a harsh nevuah saying that his like this until now his family have been the most distinguished among the Jewish people. He's a kohen gadol, his children are the head kohenim in the mishkan. Now what's going to happen is the Navi tells him in the future, your family's fortunes are going to fall so far that descendants of yours are going to go to the Kohenim in charge and ask, Svachenina, please make me, please attach me to one of the families of Kohenim. In other words, make me a member of one of the Mishmaris so that at least I'll have some food to eat. Like, in other words, I'm poor. I can't support myself. So at least give me a job in the Bais HaMikdash so I can be getting meat from and bread from the Korbanos. So we see the word Svacheni means something secondary and something attached. Rashi translates Svacheni Osfeni, like gather me in. So we see that a sapachas is something that's secondary and auxiliary to something else. Okay, the Gemara says Ashkelon Tfela L'Seis. Fine, since the pasuk says Seis O Sapachas O Baheres, so that tells us that there is a sapachas, that there is something secondary to Seis. Tfela L'Baheres Minayin. Where do we see that there is also a sapachas of Baheres, as we've been saying all this time? Because you have four shades, and on the face of it, we're saying that each of has a tolda. So Amar Rav Zera, because Nem Levona Baseis for Nem Levona Baheres. Because the fact is, the Pasuk does mention Levona by both of them. Here we said before, Baheres Levona He, which we said, therefore Baheres is the most intense white, but the Pasuk does also mention white by Seis as well. The Pasuk also mentions Seis Levona Ba'er. So it says Levona by both of them. So Ma Levona Hamur Baseis Yeshlot Fela, Af Levona Hamur Baheres Yeshlot Fela. So it teaches us that each one of them has a secondary one. The Masnisatana, in a Braisa we learn there's a different source to say that Baheres also has a Tolda, Hitla Kosov or Sapachas Bain Se'es or Baheres. The Pasuk is putting the word Sapachas between Se'es and Baheres. First the Pasuk says, the Pasuk order is Se'es Oi Sapachas Oi Baheres. So therefore that teaches us Loi Malach, Kashem Shiesh Tfeilo Se'es, Kach Tfeilo Baheres. The same, Kashem Shiesh Tfeilo Se'es, Kach Tfeilo Baheres. Just as the Se'es has a Tolda, so does the Baheres. So that's what otherwise it would have put something like the order, Baheres, Oi Se'es, Oi Sapachas. And then it would mean that only Se'es has a Sapachas, has a secondary one. Baheres does not, but now that it puts it in the order with Sapachas in between, so it means we take the word Sapachas and apply it to either one of them, and the result is we have four types of Saras that we've been saying all this time. Which actually, again, that's the, you have the basic, you have, so therefore that's what the...
Why don't we say that it's one or the other?
One minute,
what? We don't know, there's no Ashrayim.
Well, so that's the thing. We're saying, no, it's one or the other. So therefore we're saying that on the contrary, it's not one or the other. It's both of them because it put it in between. But then we also have, again, the other idea that we learned from the fact that it says Lavana by both of them. So therefore, so that results in what we said in the Mishnah. We have Shnaim, Shein Abba. We have two basics, Baheres and Seis, and each one of them has a Tolda, which is respectively Kasida, Heichel, and then Kikrum Beitza.
When you say one says Tolda, it could be even a bunch of them.
That's the thing. So that's what we've been discussing all this time. Does it mean now that each of can combine together with only its Tolda, which is what Rabbi Akiva was saying, and we had a couple of different ways within that of explaining Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva could mean that only that only Se'es can combine with its Tolda because they're only 1 degree apart, whereas Baheres and its Tolda would be 3 degrees apart, and therefore you can't do that. Or would Rabbi Akiva actually mean, which as we learned yesterday, some Rishonim learned, that it means that actually Rabbi Akiva would be saying, unlike what we just said in the Braisa, that Baheres does not have any toldas at all, and Seis has 2 toldas, which are like the plaster and like the egg membrane. Meanwhile, like we talked about yesterday, the Rambam ends up paskening that all 4 of them can combine with one another, which means, again, in other words, a person has a spot of saras, the size of a gris, on his skin, and 1/4 of it is kikrum beitza, and another 1/4 is kisida heichel, and another 1/4 is kitzer melavan, etc. It'll still all combine together, and it still makes a tummy. So the Gemara continues dealing with various other details. You have to, Rashi points out elsewhere that since the, that, that, that since there's no Gemara on Zroyim, on most of Seder Zroyim, and most of Seder Taras, so when the Gemara gets a hold of a Mishnah in one of those places, it tends to discuss it in more detail. Rashi even mentions that the Gemara will even use the expression Gufa to discuss a Mishnah from those places, even though Gufa is only used usually for something of a statement of Amoraim, because it wants to take the time to discuss it in detail, because if we don't discuss it here, we're not going to have it elsewhere. So that's why the Gemara is doing that over here, and spending a whole daf on dealing with the details of the shades and everything of Taras, because we don't have a Gemara on Masechta Nagoyim to deal with that kind of thing. Whereas before, when we had Yetzias HaShabbos, we dealt only much more briefly with why you have the expression Yetzias, and why it's implying that all of them are chayev, etc., but we didn't get into the details of what are the various cases, where he's chayev, or where he's potter, because for that, you can look in Gemara Shabbos. Okay. So next, we said se'es ketzemer lavan, we said that the color of se'es is like the color of white wool, so my tzemer lavan, what kind of white wool do we mean? Wool comes in different shades, after all. Amrav bibi, amrav asi, semer noki ben yoyme. It means the clean wool of a baby lamb that was just born. Shemachabnin molam milas, where they would wrap up the animal in cloths so that the wool stays clean, and then he can use it for clay melas, which is high quality woolen clothing. Rashi describes over here, first of all, the word mechabnin, Rashi says, comes from a word that means a clasp, because you would have like a piece of cloth would be wrapped around the animal, and then it would be held in place with clasps to keep it closed. So Rashi describes when the baby is born, the mother licks it clean, and then that's the cleanest its wool is ever going to be during its lifetime. So now, when they want it to stay that clean, so that afterwards when they shear that wool, they can use it for high quality woolen garments. Then they would wrap the animal immediately in a piece of cloth, and then hold it together and hold the cloth closed around it with clasps, so that wool stays clean. And eventually, when sheep shearing time comes, then they'll have very very high quality wool will come off it.
This is before the mother licks it, or after?
This is after. We're saying the mother licks it, and then at that point, then they wrap it. Yeah. Okay. So that's the kind of white that we're talking about would be the color of seis. So the Gemara says, Amar Abchanina, Moshul Drabbanan L'moha Dabar Dreimer. When we're talking about, according to the Chachamim, that we said, they list in the Mishnah, Baheres and its Tolda, and Seis and its Tolda, as opposed to, again, according to Rabbi Akiva, would list Baheres, then Seis, and then their respective Toldas. So L'moha Dabar Dreimer, what can we compare it to? L'trei Malchi or L'trei Parchi. You have, for example, two kings and two governors. Now you have, let's say, for example, one king is higher than the other. He has a greater empire or whatever. And the governor under one of those kings is higher than the governor of the other one. So the same way, in other words, the Chachamim would say that you have basically two ovis, which are like the kings, and two iparchim, two governors that are the Baheres, in other words, is like the king, and then Sida Hechel would be like the governor underneath him. The same thing, Seis and Krum Beza.
I don't quite understand the comparison. I mean, this is a different country. He's the highest, and he's the second to command. He's not in this country, so he's not as high, but second one is second to command.
Well, that's essentially what the Gemara is going to ask. Well, the Gemara is going to ask actually different. The Gemara is going to ask, that gives us more of Akiva's opinion. In other words, if we have, let's say these two kings are in a third country. Let's say both these kings are visiting a third country. Neither one is higher than the other within that third country, but one of them is greater than the other to begin with, and that in his home country, he has greater territory or greater power or whatever.
Is that to compare to the white mixed with red in it?
No, that's to compare among the whites themselves. That's what we're saying. The reason why Beheres and Seis can combine, which are both like kings, is because they're both on the level of kings. And the same way the governors and therefore the same way the governors can combine with each other. But that's what you want to ask. Hi Zela Mailam is Eva, Zela Mailam is Ehu. In that case, then that would better represent Rabbi Akiva's opinion, who says that not all of them can combine. In other words, the Chachamim are saying Av and Tolda, Av and Tolda. So how are you comparing it to two kings and their governors? It would come out there. What are you going to say? The governor of King A is higher than King B. It doesn't work out that way. Ella, no. What Rav Chanina means with his mashal, Malka Shozela, Ma'alami Pauke Dinafshe. Within each kingdom, the king is higher than his own governor. Or Malka Shozela, Ma'alami Pauke Dinafshe. And each king and the second king is also higher than his own governor. So in other words, each one, when they're walking, each governor follows his king the same way. Each tolda combines with its of. But in other words, the idea would be that you wouldn't have necessarily, based on that, that one of should combine with the other, or one tolda should combine with the other, just as you're not going to have that one king is going to be subordinate to the other, or one governor is going to be subordinate to the other. So that's one way of understanding it. Rav Adaba Abba gives a different way of looking at it. Imagine within the same kingdom itself, Malka Baal Kafta Rufila Viresh Galusa. Suppose you have four different levels of leadership. You have the king, then you have the Al Kafta, which is some kind of high ranking minister, like the Mishnah Malach or something. Then you have Rufila, the general, Viresh Galusa, and then you have the Resh Galusa, the governor of the Jewish people in Bavel. So now, when they're walking, they would walk in that order. Rashi actually describes that the king and the Al-Kafta would both be two kings, but the king outranks the Al-Kafta. So in other words, the idea would be like the Al-Kafta is like the Mishnah Melech. He's almost on the level of a king. The same way, for example, as we describe Yosef as a king, for example, we really is Mishnah Melech. So again, the Gemara asks, "Hai zela ma'alam izehu?" You're back to the problem. That fits better with Rabbi Akiva's opinion that each one is higher than the other one. Two others, and then two toldas. According to the Chama, saying of and tolda. How does your mashal of these four ranks? How does that do that? Ella, no. What he means is rather let's rearrange. Suppose that we have. Let's not put them in the order of their rank. Let's put them in the order of which one goes with which one. You have the Rufila, which is the general, is going to follow the king. When the Al-Kafta is walking, the Resh Galusa will accompany him. In other words, the point is, even though really in a certain sense the Al-Kafta outranks the Rufila, but the Rufila has an independent, he has like a power base of his own, and the Resh Galusa is answerable to him. The Rufila, the general, is directly answerable to the king. The Al-Kafta, the prime minister, the Resh Galusa, is directly responsible to him. It's like, you know, you think of in modern government, let's say you have, you know, ultimately, let's say, and then, you know, under, in principle, for example, everybody in the executive branch is under the president, but in, you know, you have, first of all, you have the president, you have Congress and whatever, you have different branches of power, but also even within one branch itself. You have somebody who's answerable to the person directly above him, and then not necessarily all the way to the top. So the same way over here. In other words, the Rufila, when they're walking together, the Rufila is going to accompany the king. The king goes together with the general. Meanwhile, the prime minister is going to be like something independent, not really independent, but whatever. In other words, the point is he's considered a power enough of his own that now who's answerable to him? The Resh Galusa. So the same way over here. In other words, you have that. So the same way, it doesn't depend on how white they, and with the colors of Tzaras, it doesn't depend on how white they are. It depends on whether we're talking about an Av and a Tolda. So therefore, that's the order. You have the Av and in the Mishnah lists an Av and its Tolda, an Av and its Tolda. Even though, yes, you might say that the second Av is approximately equal to the Tolda of the first one. Nevertheless, they're listed in that way. Rava says, never mind trying to analogize it within different ranks within the same kingdom. Let's draw an analogy between different empires. You've got Shabur Malka of a Kaiser. You have Shabur Malka, which is the king, the famous world. So Shabur was the name of certain specific kings of Persia. There was, in fact, a king of Persia, which also included Babel at that time, in Rava's time, named Shabur, but sometimes the Gemara seems to use Shabur as more like a generic name for the kings of Persia. Whatever the case, you have in history, there were three of them. There was one It was one in the time of Shmuel, and the Gemara mentions a few stories involving Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda and him. There was a later one in the times of Rava, and the Gemara mentions a couple of stories here and there involving Rava and him. Later on, there was a third one briefly in the times of Ravashi. Anyway, but the Gemara says, seems to kind of sometimes use Shabu Malka as a general term for the kings of Persia. Anyway, so Rava is saying, so you have the emperor of Persia, Shabu Malka, the Kesar, and then you have the Roman emperor. And each one has its subordinates. So the same way, in other words, over here, you can be talking about that each one, so the same way, Beheres has its tolda, and Seis has its tolda. Omelet a papa the robber heiminayu odif. So the papa asks the robber, which one is greater? When you're mentioning Shabu Malka and you're mentioning the Kesar, which one is greater and more important? An interesting point about that, Rashi explains. Now, you would think, the obvious thing is the Roman emperor, he has a much greater and more powerful empire than the Persians do. But on the other hand, Rav Papa thought maybe the reason why Rava had mentioned Shabu Malka first is because Rava is a subject of Shabu Malka. He lives in Bravel, which was under the rule of Persia at that time. So therefore, he starts mentioning the case at first, he could get in trouble. But does Rava in fact mean to say that Shabu is in fact in a way more powerful than the Roman Empire and than the Roman Emperor, or is he just mentioning that Mitzad Yira? Omalei. So Rava answers him, "B'choshaya ka'ochale." Are you somebody who lives and eats in the forest? Like you live out in the forest outside of civilization. And you don't understand how the world works, what the Roman Empire is like, that you even need to ask. And he tells him, "It's pukhadi tiva de man savi ba'alma. Go see which one's tiva is more famous in the world. Tiva can mean the knowledge of it, like the Roman Empire is much more famous in the world than the Persian Empire. It can mean tiva can mean the coinage of it. The coinage of it of the Roman circulates a lot more than the Persian one. So yeah, as much as I'm mentioning the Persian king first, Shabu Malka, I'm doing that out of respect because I live in his country and I'm a subject of his. But in fact, you should realize the Roman are much more powerful. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says in Daniel, one of Daniel's visions, where he sees different chayas representing the different representing the different Arba Malchus that are going to rule over the Jewish people. Until Mashiach comes, he describes the one that represents the Romans, the Seicho Kol Ara, it will consume the whole world, or Sedushina, and it will trample it, the Sadkina, and it will break it up. Grind it up very fine. But Omer Rabbi Yechanan, in fact, says about that Zu Rami Chayevis. This pasuk is referring to the wicked kingdom of Rome. Shetiva Yotzeh B'chol Olam Kolay. That Tiva extends throughout the entire world. So, in other words, as much as the Persians are also mentioned over there, the Persians are compared to a bear in those psukim. But in fact, Maharsha points out by the bear also, the expression in the pasuk is that it's told Kumia Chuli B'sar Sagi. Get up and eat lots of flesh. In other words, you're going to be a very powerful kingdom as well. But nevertheless, the Romans, as the Seichel Kol Ara, is even greater, even more powerful, and in fact, they're consuming the whole world. Ben Yehoyada says, in other words, it doesn't just mean in terms of that the Romans conquered and made vast areas parts of their empire. It also means economically that the Romans were a much greater power in the world. The Seichel Kol Ara, in the sense they eat things from all over the world. They go and buy, they go and do international commerce, and they go and bring in things from all over the known world to eat, and therefore they're literally eating what comes from other countries. As opposed to the Persians, less so, they tended to be more self-sufficient. Seems to be the idea. But in other words, Rava is saying, you see that the Romans are in fact much greater and much more powerful and have much greater influence in the world than the Persians do. Historically, by the way, during all those centuries, the Romans and the Persians fought each other every so often. Sometimes one side won, sometimes the other side won. So therefore, to a certain degree, you could consider them to be balanced. But Rava is saying you should realize the Romans have a much greater influence in the world than the Persians do. So that's another way of comparing. In other words, is again, you have these two emperors that are one against the other, but then each one has his governor or his prime minister or whatever underneath him, but nevertheless, one still is greater and more powerful than the other, and therefore that serves as a nice metaphor for Beheres and its Tolda and Seis and its Tolda. So, you actually have. You see about this, that here they're comparing all these Goyish kingdoms to Nagoyim, Tsaras, that disfigures and weakens a person. So, yeah.
Well, that's what happened then.
What?
Bolton.
Yeah. Bolton. Yeah, but each one is, yeah.
It's the conclusion.
What?
The comparison between the king and the general makes it to say that the Baharis' Tuba is higher than the Seif?
Well, that's when we said before, when we had the four ranks within the one kingdom itself, the king, the prime minister, the general, and then we fixed it up, the king, the general, the prime minister, and the Reish Kabusa. Yeah, that's what we're saying. In other words, in terms of actual rank, the general and the prime minister might be even on equal or close to an equal level, but when each one of them accompanies, when they're walking down the streets, when they're going in a procession, the general is going to go with the king. The Reish Kabusa is going to go with the prime minister, the Al-Kafta.
So you're answering the question by saying that the general...
So it might even be, yes, there are Rishonim who learn that in Rav Adaba Ava's Moshel, he may mean, in other words, that yes, there might not be a difference in degree, in degree of whiteness between the Toldah of Baharis and Se'es itself. They might actually be the same shade of white. And again, there might be some other difference between them, like we said before, but nevertheless, you'd still say that one can be seen as a Toldah of one and the other as an Ov of the other, depending on the quality of the whiteness. Okay. Ravina Omar. Ravina says here's another way of drawing the analogy. Then glima de amar v'shachke. You can have, for example, a woolen garment, and then you have a worn out one. So you have a new one which is bright white, and then eventually over time the color fades. Sedina de kitne v'shachke. Then you have versus that. You might have a new linen garment versus where it's worn out. So in other words, so a similar idea. In other words, you have when a woolen one is going to be so again, each one, the new one obviously is going to be a much brighter white than the used one. But on the other hand, you also have Rashi points out the whiteness of a new woolen garment and the whiteness of a new linen garment are going to be very, very close together. The same way, in other words, so the Baharis will be much higher than Sida Hechel, which is its Toldah, and Se'es will be much higher than Krum Beitza, but as far as the two Ovis will be very, very close together, just as new wool and new linen are very close together. So that's another way of looking at it, in other words, that you would have the two. So unlike, for example, let's say in Rava's Moshel with the Roman emperor and the Persian king, where one is in fact much greater than the other, and that would looking at it that way, you would say that Baharis is much, much whiter than Seis. Now another way of looking at it, Ravina is saying, is no, Baharis and Seis are actually fairly close together. There's only a slight difference between them. When you come to their Toldahs, then there's a big difference. That's another way of explaining the difference between one and the other. So that's that as far as the discussion of Tsaras, and then we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we're going to get into this whole matter of Tumas Mikdash Kodesh, which is going to take up the whole rest of this Perek and most of the next Perek, the Yedias HaTumah that we mentioned in the Mishnah, the various ways that a person knows and forgets and whatever about being Tomei and enters the Be'ez Mikdash and eats Kodeshim, under what circumstances he brings a korban and what he doesn't.
So it sounds a lot like the previous sector.
No, and in Makkos we talked about in terms of the Dinam of Malkus, here we're going to focus on it. We did mention earlier, we had on Def Gimel when we were discussing who the Mishnah was like, whether it was like Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Shmuel, we said that the Mishnah might be talking about how many different cases he gets Malkus. But in the end, we said that no, our Mishnah is talking about in how many different cases he's hired to bring a korban when he did it for Shogeg. Well, what exactly is the case of Shogeg? That's what we're going to be dealing with.
But